I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Since I didn't get to preach my Christmas message, and since we've been singing Christmas songs, I'm going to go back and preach my Christmas message. Stand with me, if you will, for the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, and things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would bless the reading of your word. Lord, I pray that you would give me the strength, the grace to preach your word according to your will. Remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me, and use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus came into the world for one reason and one reason only, and that was to save us from our sins. He knew from the beginning that we would be sinners, that we would turn away from his righteousness and choose to do our own thing, which was not righteous. And once we had fallen, there was nothing that could save us except that he should send his son to die on the cross for our sins. In order for us to be redeemed, God had to send his son as a baby so that he could be like us. You see, death passed upon all men through the sin of one man. And so life had to be brought by one man, one human. But it had to be a perfect human. In the book of Job, Job is talking about how that it's impossible for a man who is sinful to be justified in the eyes of a holy God. He said there's no daysman between the two of us that can touch us both. The problem is if he's holy enough to touch God, he's too holy to touch me. And if he's sinful or human enough to touch me, then he's not able to touch God. But he goes on to say, but I know that my Redeemer lives. And in the latter day on the earth, he will stand. God had showed Job that there would be a Redeemer. And that Redeemer was the kinsman Redeemer, the daysman, the go-between. And in order for that to happen, God had to send him into a sinless human body. So we're going to start with the cradle. Verses 5 through 7, our text says this: Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Whenever we have the idea of Jesus in the manger, that's not the beginning. Jesus has always been here. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so it is the eternal God, Jesus Christ, who came down to be made like us. Job 9 32 and 33 that we were just talking about shows that what we need is God between us. We need a go-between. Listen to what he says here. For he is not man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. And so there is that need. And so God sent Jesus to be born of a virgin, that he might become one of us. The Bible says he was made us so that he could suffer in our place. God became us. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The virgin birth is an absolute necessary doctrine of our salvation. Jesus was born of a virgin so that he would not have a sinful nature. Sin is passed on from generation to generation through the male of the species, not through the female. And so therefore, because God was his father, Jesus was born without a sinful nature. In Hebrews 10, 1 through 10 shows us that God's body is what saves us. The body that Jesus was given through the virgin birth is what saves us, because he is that human go-between. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus took away the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, nailing it to the cross, the Bible says. Now, you see, we were under the law of sin and death before Jesus came. The law of sin and death is simply stated, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But we are now under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We have been set free from the law of sin and death. Jesus came into the world, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made like sinful flesh, only he was not sinful, and he lived a perfect life, and then he went to the cross. Jesus had to be examined and had to be proven to be sinless before God. Now, in the Old Testament, the Passover lamb, which was a shadow of Christ, was shut up for 14 days. And he was scrutinized to see if there was any blemish or spot in him. Now, those blemishes or spots that were in those little lambs were there before the examination. The examination did not put the spots there. It simply revealed whether there was a spot or not. And it's the same with Jesus. Jesus' temptation in the wilderness did not put any sin in him. Could not put sin in him. It just simply revealed that he was sinless. And so once he had proven his sinlessness, then he could go to the cross and offer his body as a sacrifice for our sins. Listen to verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Once he had proven himself through the trials that he faced, then he could carry our sin to the cross. You see, there was a tremendous switch that took place when Jesus went to the cross for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know what that means? When that switch took place, Jesus became guilty for my sin. Jesus became guilty for the sins of the whole world. He died justly because all of the sins of the world were accounted to him. And there on the cross, God the Father poured out his wrath on his son. Think about that. You say, well, why was that necessary? Because in that switch, something happened to us too. You see, all that guilt that was put on Jesus was taken off of us. And in its place, the perfect life that Jesus lived replaced our sinfulness. And so that was an important switch that took place when Jesus was on the cross. He was our substitution, Colossians 2, 13 through 15. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, notice he says here, the handwriting of ordinances that were against us. Now, that phrase, against us, means that it was contrary to our ability to keep the law that was against us. You see, when the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die, he's not talking about a continuation. One sin is all it takes to die spiritually. And we have a condition that cannot be fixed apart from new life. We have to have new life in order to be saved. The sacrifice itself, Isaiah 53, 4 through 11. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. When Jesus was on the cross and God the Father poured out his wrath upon him, he poured that wrath out until his wrath was satisfied. Folks, that's important. There's nothing left for us to pay. When Jesus said it's paid in full there at the cross, when it's finished, it's all done, that meant that we have salvation freely given to us. Now, there's another time coming when Jesus is going to come back. Both of these things, the cradle and the cross, have already taken place. They waited for years and years and years for that to take place. But then here comes Jesus, and he took the sacrifice, and he became us, and he paid the penalty for our sins. But he's made us another promise, and that is that he's going to come back. And when he comes back, he's going to reign right here on the earth for 1,000 years, and then on the new earth forever and ever. And we're going to reign with him. Look at verses 9 through 11. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This was an expected rain. God has prophesied through his prophets down through the years that Jesus would reign on the earth. Listen to Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. That was a prophecy that they've been expecting for years and years and years and years. Just like we've been looking forward to the rapture all this time. But you know, it's getting closer. And just like all of a sudden, with no warning, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. It was a fulfillment that took a long time coming. Even in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord prophesied that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. That was a long time before he finally did that on the cross. And one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound. And just like that came without warning, so the rapture's going to come without warning one day. And it will be an exacting rain. Romans 14:10 through 12 says this: But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Folks, that is a sobering thought. The choices we make in this life are going to come up for review before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every decision we make, we need to be very careful and make those decisions wisely, because it will affect so many people what we do with Jesus. The reign of Jesus is going to be an eternal reign. Revelation 11:15-19 says this: And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, there was seen in the temple the ark of the testament. There were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. This is what we've got to look forward to, folks. But I want you to see something here. The book of Hebrews chapter 2 says, How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Jesus did so much to purchase salvation for us. Jesus came, became like us. He died in our place, and he's coming again. Now, we've got to deal with that. One way or the other, we have got to deal with Jesus. You say, well, I've already received Christ as my Savior, and I'm saved. But how are you living your life? Is your life a testimony to the goodness of God? Are you living in obedience to him? You see, one of these days, we're going to call him Lord. We're going to bow before him. But he asks the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? If Jesus is our Lord, we need to serve him. Then there are those who've never put their trust in Jesus. Well, maybe it'd be embarrassing to step out and publicly profess Christ as your Savior. You say, well, I just wouldn't want to put myself in an embarrassing situation. Well, let me tell you, one of these days you're going to have to stand before God. It's not going to just be an embarrassing situation, because once you have made that decision, there's no second chance. You stand before God one day, and He says, depart from me, you that work iniquity, for I never knew you. That's it. 100 billion years from now, you'll still be burning in hell. Hell is not a place that is made for man. It's made for the devil and his angels. But if we reject the salvation that Jesus died to purchase for us, there is no other place for us than hell. And I want to challenge you this morning. If you have never received Christ as your Savior, this is the time to do it. You're not promised another moment. The Lord may not come back today, but you may go to Him. We don't know what a day will bring forth. We're not promised another heartbeat. And whatever we're going to do with Jesus, we need to do right now. If I ask you, and you knew this was your final opportunity, as a lost person, this is your last chance to be saved, what would you do with it? Would you say, well, I'll just think about it a while, or maybe it won't really matter? Or would you put your trust in Jesus? Let me ask you this. What do you think a person in hell, let's say the rich man that's been in hell for these several thousand years, if we brought him this morning to church, we got him out of hell and we brought him to church, you think he would be embarrassed to profess Christ as Savior? Do you think he would even take the chance? You see, it's going to be important what we do. Then let's say, for those who have put their trust in Jesus, if you knew this is your last day on earth, would you live your life the same way as you have been? Or would you change? Would you begin to do things differently? What things God has laid on your heart to change, and you've not changed, this is the time to do that. As we start a new year, we need to give ourselves totally and completely over to serving God. This may be our last year. God knows what He's doing, and God wants us to live godly in Christ Jesus. We've been called to that. I want to challenge every one of you to read through your Bible this year. There's things in the Bible some of you have never read. And in the end, that's going to be important. Because you see, we have to give an account for what we've done with the Word of God. So we need to read the Bible. Find out what it says for yourself. We need to begin to submit our lives to Christ. Don't compare your life with somebody else's life. As you start this new year, ask yourself, would I want Jesus to come back today and find me doing what I normally do? And if you would say no to that, then I challenge you to give that over to the Lord. This can be the beginning of the rest of your life when you start serving God with all your heart. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, this is your time. You say, brother, I don't know how to do that. Let me tell you. You just come down here to the front and you say, brother Allen, I want to be saved. I'll take it from there. Maybe you need to come to the altar and pray. Rededicate your life. Whatever the Lord would have you do, this is your opportunity. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace that enables us to keep your word. And Lord, I pray that you would have mercy on the soul that's nearest hell. Save them this morning before it's too late. Be with those who have strayed from you that they might come back. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.